Our gospel for this third Sunday of Advent is actually two gospels, one from Luke chapter 2 and one from John chapter 10. Both of them give us perspectives on the shepherd. The shepherd's on the hillside of Bethlehem and the good shepherd. So listen carefully for the ways in which shepherds are connected. From Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And then in his own words, Jesus said this, John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life for the sheep." These are the words of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. As we think about these words of God for us this day, we think about this Shepherd Sunday and, oh, how appropriate is that your precious babies are baptized on Shepherd Sunday. You're the ones that are called to watch over them, just as shepherds watched and cared for their sheep. So you take care of the little lambs with which God has blessed you. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that you are indeed the Good Shepherd. Help us today on this Shepherd Sunday to learn some lessons from the shepherds that were on the Bethlehem hillside that night that you appeared on earth in the form of the baby Jesus. Help us to learn from them and help us to learn from the Good Shepherd. And then, like you invited shepherds to do, help us to be messengers of this great good news. In your name we pray. Amen. So there's a passage of Scripture. In fact, we're going to be going over quite a number of passages of Scripture that relate to shepherds and the Good Shepherd. And you will find on the back of your prayer and action guide, there's a section there. If you want to take notes on these particular Scripture passages, you can. This is not mandatory. This is not homework, right? As a lot of our college kids are entering finals week, we're not going to demand that of you. But if you want to take some notes, if you want to just chronicle some of the things that we're going to talk about from Scripture about shepherds and the lessons we might learn, you have that space to do so if you like. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "And there were shepherds in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks." Now, most of us know that that's going to be a section of the Christmas gospel that we're going to hear in just a couple of weeks, right? We know that this passage of Scripture, we're going to hear about the shepherds, as well as we're going to hear about Mary and Joseph. We're going to hear about the star. Later on, we'll hear about the wise men. We're going to hear about all of those principles that were involved surrounding the birth of Jesus. We're going to hear all about that. So why on this third Sunday of Advent, we've still got a little bit of time, for those of you who haven't yet done your Christmas shopping for me, there's still time, as Pastor Greg alluded to, but why now? Why do we focus on this verse? Well, there's at least a couple of really good reasons. One is that shepherds knew how to watch. They watched for predators. They watched to protect their sheep. They were some of the best biblical watchers that the Bible chronicles. They knew how to wait. They knew how to stay alert. And that's the mood of Advent. Advent, this season that leads up to Christmas, is all about watching and waiting. But theirs was not a passive watching or waiting. Neither should ours be. They were active. they stood ready to place themselves between the predator and the sheep if need be. They stood ready to even sacrifice their lives if that's what it took to protect their sheep. They watched in that kind of a spirit. The second thing is that we learn from shepherds is that they were waiting for something else as well. Like all of their other countrymen, they were good Jewish people who were waiting for the Messiah. So they've been waiting for centuries, just like the others of their nation and their country. They've been waiting. And they help us understand the mood of our waiting. Advent is chronicled by the color blue. Our paraments, the stole I wear, the paraments on the altar are blue. Why blue? Because blue symbolizes hope. Blue represents waiting with hopefulness. They were waiting to not only hopefully take the best care they could of their sheep, but they were waiting hopefully for Messiah. Blue reminds us of the color of the sky, doesn't it? Well, maybe not so much this time of year, but on a clear day, blue is the color. We wait during this Advent season not only to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we wait with joyful expectation and watching for the second coming of Christ. That's the mood of Advent. We celebrate the first coming of Christ, and we wait in anticipation, as did the shepherds, for the second coming of Christ. That's the mood of our waiting, our hopefulness, our watching. So those are some of the things we learn from the shepherds. But there's a kind of ironic twist. Just as we lift up the shepherds on that Bethlehem hill, the shepherds were waiting for one who would later on proclaim that he was the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, there's at least three things that the good shepherd does, and it's chronicled throughout Scripture. The good shepherd searches. The sheep of Jesus' day, the shepherds had watched, they oftentimes would get lost. They would wander off away from the flock, and the shepherd would have to search after them. The shepherd also not only searches, the shepherd finds. And the good shepherd saves. Just as shepherds were willing to lay down their life for their sheep, so the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for us. In fact, Jesus tells a parable about a good shepherd, trying to help the people of his day understand what good shepherds were all about. He tells this parable. It's found in Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. There's three lost things in chapter 15 of Luke. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. Well, we're going to focus on just the lost sheep part. Jesus tells this parable to the listeners. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Just imagine taking care of 100 sheep, but you lose one of them. Does that shepherd not leave the 99 in the open country and go after searching for the one that is lost until he finds it? In other words, he won't give up till he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus was speaking to people who understood the culture, the metaphor of shepherds looking for a lost sheep, people who didn't realize, many of them, that they were spiritually lost. And so Jesus takes this incredible metaphor of a shepherd caring for sheep, and he applies it to himself. In the same way that a shepherd would care for sheep, search for them, find them, save them, so I've come in order to search for all of you who are lost. And I will continue my search until I find you in order to save you. That's the role. Those are the characteristics of the Good Shepherd. Scripture is full of verses that amplify and undergird this theme. For example, in Luke chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "He shall save his people from their sins." In other words, he's talking to those people who are lost, all who have been lost. He's going to search, he's going to find, he's going to save them from their sins. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he says, "I have come to seek and to save what was lost." In Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me." And I want you to imagine the shepherd carrying that lost sheep on his shoulders. Imagine that as you hear these words from Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is what the Good Shepherd does. All of us who are wearied and burdened by sinfulness or the weight of the world taking us down, whatever that might be in your life, the Good Shepherd puts us on his shoulders and gives us rest. John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." In other words, they will never be lost eternally when they are found in me. "Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Just as a good shepherd would never let the lamb be snatched out of his hand or from his possession or under his watch from a predator, so the good shepherd desires never to let the evil one snatch us out of his hand. And finally, from John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, "I am going to prepare a place for you." Think of it as a pasture, an eternal pasture. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be also." This is what the good shepherd does for us. How appropriate that on a day when Elliot and Margaret are baptized, and you are given as parents and godparents and supporting family, you are called to watch carefully for their spiritual well-being. You're called to wait with them through all those trials of life that they will encounter. You're there to encourage them, to protect them, to care for them. How appropriate that they're baptized on Shepherd Sunday. How appropriate. How powerful. You know, shepherds did so much more than just watch. Shepherds in Jesus' day were the ones who were the guards. They were the protectors. They used their staff, they used their slingshots to protect their sheep from predators. They were also veterinarians. If the sheep got sick, they were the ones that nursed the lambs, the sheep, back to health. They were barbers. They're the ones that sheared the sheep. And in the summertime, that was a very important thing to do so that the sheep didn't get overheated with all that wool they were wearing. They were the grocers. Because sheep are vegetarians, they had to continually be searching for good pasture, find the best grass. And they were diligently always doing that. And because, and to use a seasonable metaphor here, because sheep weren't the brightest bulbs on the tree, to use that seasonal metaphor, they were navigators. They were the GPS system. They were the ones that found the best pasture because the sheep didn't do so well on their own. So there's this hymn. It's in our hymnal. It's one of my favorites. And because it's one of my favorites, you're going to sing it for me today. And it'll still be my favorite after you're done singing. I know. Actually, we're going to sing this to the Lord. It's hymn number 764. It's on the screen. And we're going to sing it with gusto, and we're going to sing it thinking about what the good shepherd does for the sheep. We're going to think about that metaphor as we sing together. Thank you. for the wonderful job in which you made us all feel like we could sing so well. Thank you for that. One of the best shepherd passages is one that we know so well. It's called the shepherd chapter from Psalm 23. It's the verse all about the good shepherd. It begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Many of you know that very well. Yesterday, we had a memorial service for one of our faithful members. Jerry Anderson passed into God's kingdom. Jerry knew God as his good shepherd. Jerry not only knew God as his good shepherd, Jerry was very willing to, like the shepherds of old, be a messenger, pointing people to the good shepherd. He got it. He understood it. And yesterday, as we heard his family, words from his family and from his friends, we had the privilege of understanding a bit better how God had influenced him, how God had searched for Jerry and how he had found him, and how Jerry knew he was saved by the Good Shepherd. And that came through in his life, the way he lived his life. He was a faithful member of our Saturday morning men's breakfast when he was healthy enough to be there. He loved to come to Wednesday morning men's Bible study. He loved coming to Saturday night worship. And he came because he knew the Good Shepherd. He knew Jesus as his shepherd. And he wanted to be a messenger because Psalm 23 is so powerful. Today I want us to share Psalm 23 together, not passively but actively. And so we're going to read it together in a round, or responsively is probably a better way to say it. So my left, your right, you begin with verse 1, and we'll have script up there for you, so you don't have to, for those of you who don't have it memorized, then my right, your left will be verse 2, and we'll go through Psalm 23. As we recite this responsively, I want you to really focus today, this Shepherd Sunday, on the characteristics of God the Good Shepherd and what that means for us as God's people, God's sheep, so to speak. Let's read it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quieter waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Some of you have it memorized King James style, and I heard that coming out, and that's great. I love it that way, too. Whichever version, you know, this is the new international version, contemporary version. Hopefully, whichever version speaks to your heart, God is speaking to you, the Good Shepherd, about what it means to be part of God's flock, God's forever flock. So one of the ways in which we've had a chance to live that out during this Advent season is, speaking of the heart, a program we call here at Good Shepherd, Gifts from the Heart. It has really touched my heart to see all of those presents. You don't see them now so much because many of them have been delivered to the people that are going to receive them. But when we received all of those presents, many of them going to the convalescent center up in DuPage County, and I couldn't help but think about the recipients of those gifts. Many of them need to be, they're wheelchair bound, so they need to be escorted to the worship services. I think of those escorts like shepherds taking the people, the residents. Many of them don't have family any longer or friends who come to visit them. So the shepherding is so important, caring for them. Many of them are losing their memories because of dementia. And there's a sense of lostness to who they are. And I think about the way in which we have opportunity to worship with them and to shepherd them. And those gifts will mean so much to them. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity and the ways that you, like shepherds, have reached out to care for them. I think about the angel tree gifts. I think about those gifts that are going to children who have a parent or parents who are incarcerated. And what a shining light that will be in their lives this Christmas season. You're being like shepherds, caring for them, reaching out, loving them. And this week I got on their Angel Tree website and I read some incredible testimonies. Those presents have been transformational. I read stories of people who had been addicted to drugs who, because of the presence, saw the difference it made in the lives of their children. And some of them have gone through rehab and are recovering. Some of them were connected in gang activity. And because of the transformational power of God's love through those gifts, they've gone away from gang activity, were some of the witnesses I read. Those are more than just Christmas gifts. Those are gifts that shepherd people into a relationship with the good shepherd. I think about the dream catcher gifts that go to Pine Ridge and what a difference those make in the lives of the Lakota people who are shivering in this weather. They don't have the kind of protection, many of them, that we have. And I think about the love of God that is going to them through these gifts. Shepherd, they get what shepherding is all about in the plains, the great plains of South Dakota. I think about the canes that have been given. We call them Christmas canes, but today on Shepherd Sunday, I want you to think of them like shepherd staffs, because shepherds used their staffs to help navigate rough, rugged ground. And likewise, the people who receive those Christmas canes, people who are elderly or people that have mobility issues, are using them to help navigate for them rugged terrain. Think about those canes as being like shepherd's staff on this Shepherd Sunday. I think about those Feed My Starving Children ornaments that are being given. And with every ornament, the money is used for more meals for children who would otherwise never make it to next Christmas because they would starve to death. And those gifts are ways of shepherding children and helping them understand and appreciate, because with every meal delivered, the message of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is delivered, and many of their lives have been transformed into a relationship with God. Oh, I'm so thankful for the generosity of people who have reached out and shepherded through gifts from the heart, because it's making an incredible, profound difference. And there's still an opportunity for some more gifts from the heart if God touches your heart to do so. There's still some more opportunity to do that. And when you do, be thinking of those whom God is allowing you to shepherd, to the Good Shepherd. In just a moment, we're going to sing another of my favorite songs. It's called Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. It was written by the same composer who composed Jesus Loves Me. Because his goal in life as a gifted musician was to write music that helped children better come into a relationship with the Good Shepherd. Savior, Like a Shepherd, Save Us, or Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, was intended for children, but adults liked it, so we couldn't keep it away from them. So they liked to sing it, and you'll get to sing it right after this message. But there's a backstory to this as well. This came out before the Civil War. It's written that long ago. And the story is told about a musician. His name was Ira Stanky, a musician who oftentimes sang in front of crowds of people. He was a musician, a vocalist who sang in front of great crowds of people. And one day after he'd performed and he'd sung, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, there was a person from the crowd who came up to him and asked him if he had served in the Civil War. And he said, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I was a soldier in the Union Army. And the person that was talking to him said, well, I was a soldier in the Confederate Army. Were you at such and such a place, at such and such a battle, at such and such a date? And he said, as a matter of fact, I was. I stood guard at that post that night. He said, I thought I recognized your voice. You didn't know it, but you were in my crosshairs that night. It was my job to take you out. It was my job to shoot the sentry. But as I was about to pull the trigger, you began to sing, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And I remembered my mom singing that song to me as a child. and I could not pull the trigger. That song saved your life. I couldn't help but think about that when I thought about how often it is that the Good Shepherd searches for those who are lost and don't even realize it. Finds us in situations in which we are unaware the Good Shepherd is pursuing us. And the Good Shepherd desires ultimately to save us. That's the purpose of our focus on this Shepherd Sunday. To realize that we, like sheep, are often lost and unaware of what the Good Shepherd is doing for us. But we, who have been found and saved by the Good Shepherd, are given the task, as was the shepherds on that Bethlehem hillside, of being messengers of that great good news. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, today we thank you for these precious babies that were baptized into our flock today. How appropriate that they are baptized at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Our namesake is our Savior's name. The one who proclaimed in John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd. Lord, help us to realize that you have searched for us till you have found us and you desire to save us. Help us to be your ambassadors, your shepherds, your messengers who proclaim that truth to those who need to hear it. In your name we pray. Amen.